I tell people when joining the Microsoft or joining the customer success unit, think of this as like a college. I promise you this, 1 year from now, you'll be smarter than you are now.
Hello and welcome to the Cloud Solution Architect podcast from AzureMonk.com. This is your host, Anand Kumar. I work as a senior cloud solution architect in New York City. For more podcast episodes, super simplified video lessons, and content on Azure, check out www.azuremonk.com. That's www.azuremonk.com. In this episode, I talk to Mark Souza, the corporate vice president of the customer success unit, who's technically my boss's boss. Mark has been at Microsoft for over 26 years with different roles across the organization. It is a fun experience talking with Mark on this podcast. Having interacted with Mark in the past, I can confidently say he's one of the most down-to-earth and grounded senior leadership executives I've ever met. In this episode, we talk about how Mark starts off his day, his journey in Microsoft, and he explains what the customer success unit does in plain English, his advice for people starting off in their career, how he stays grounded, the one quality which he expects every member of his organization to have, and his favorite book and family. All this and more. Without further ado, let's get to the show. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for taking out the time to be on the show. It's an honor and privilege to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Anand. Really excited to be here.
Mark, great. So before we begin, Mark, what's the first thing that you do as soon as you wake up every day? And what's your morning routine like?
I think I might be the typical executive. I think I start by peeking at that cell phone and making sure there's no emergencies. As a corporate vice president of customer success, knowing what's going on with my customers worldwide is important, and it's all around the world. That means it's 24/7. So I just like to take a peek and make sure that there's nothing going wrong across the world. That's probably the first thing I do in the morning, and then coffee shortly after that.
Awesome. Mark, you've been at Microsoft for over 26 years and have taken on a wide variety of roles. And most recently, you had been leading the customer advisory team for SQL, and now you're the corporate vice president of the customer success unit. And one of the themes of this podcast and website, AzureMonk.com, is to super simplify things and provide clarity. On that note, if you had to explain what the CSU does, why it exists, and how does it differentiate itself from the CAD team to a five-year-old, how would you do it?
Oh, great question, Anand. And I've been asked this question a lot. So let me start, if you don't mind. I'm going to go back a little bit. I have been with Microsoft a long time, but all 26 years have been customer-focused, even though close to 20 of those years were inside engineering organization. I started out in the field for my first several years as very much like a cloud solution architect, helping customers, showing the value of the Microsoft technology, ensuring that when they utilize the technology, they do it in a way that is most effective to them and they're going to be successful. So interesting enough is customer success for me started 26 years ago. And then in 2000, they moved me into engineering to start a customer-facing team. That's when I started the CAT team, Customer Advisory Team, CAT. You have to remember, in 2000, the engineers didn't talk to customers. So this was something brand new. And the idea was simple. 50% of the time, go work with customers, be deeply technical, understand how our services and products are being used at our customer sites with other Microsoft and non-Microsoft services and products, and then spend the other half of time with engineering and making sure that they get it. You have a service team, they build a service. Well, how does that service work across with other services? And how does it work with non-Microsoft services? So this role became very popular, and every engineering team at Microsoft has a CAT team. But the thing about a CAT team is, you wake up in the morning, you think about the product and think about the services, mm-hmm. All right? You use customer knowledge and sharing and success to drive product and services. Now let's move on to the customer success unit. Customer success unit looks a lot like CAT, deep technical resources, worried about customer success, and take these learnings and make sure that we drive them back into engineering so they're doing the right thing for our customers. But the difference is I wake up in the morning and I think about customer. I think about customer success stuff. All right, my old job in CAT is think about services and products, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that doesn't mean I love customers any less if I'm in CAT, but my job every day is focused on one metric, and that means our customers are successfully consuming our set of services, and that is the main difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I remember you also saying, Mark, at one of our meetings that it, whatever it takes, right? There's a customer success unit. We do for the customer to be successful, whatever it takes. So, yeah, I think that really sums up what you're saying.
Well, now, if you don't mind, let's elaborate that anon. Is, you know, it's very easy to say, I do A, B, C, D, E, F, all right? And then try to take A, B, C, D, E, F and apply it into a customer situation. But if you really think about customer success, it is, you know, it could be anything. It could be today, my customer has a performance problem and I got to jump on a keyboard and help them do some diagnostics and performance tuning. Tomorrow, it could be they want to understand a new technology and I have to whiteboard how it works and how it works with their specific application or their business or their set of services that they used to. Or the next day, they might need something where I have to broker a resource and bring a new resource. So it's a very, in a way, reactive to a specific customer and with the in mind that what I'm doing is helping them be successful. And at the end of the day, I don't get measured or we don't get measured so much on revenue or consumption, but it's successfully consuming. If a big customer is running a mission critical app, that's nice. I'm really happy they're doing it. All right. But if that app goes down because it wasn't designed for resiliency, we should feel bad. We didn't do our jobs right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. And as someone who, you know, is working in the field, I can absolutely attest to that. I think that's the culture that we also bring. And so as someone who works on the Azure side, Mark, we do have under the customer success unit, we have the cloud solution architects and the customer engineering team. So how does the new customer engineering team fit into the big picture?
Great. So, I reported to headquarters and I run what they call the World Commercial Business Customer Success Unit. And then, of course, I work with the field, global sales marketing operations is where you work or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're one team. So I'm your headquarters team. I'm your liaison to engineering. I'm the one that's going to put the programs out to you to help you do and enable you to do your job best. So the customer engineering team is formed under me, very much like the CAT team. All right. It's a global team. It's going to turn around and just basically be an extension of the customer success unit. So it's not a separate team that does separate function. It's just an extension. It's a small team. It's 70 people worldwide, 70, working with 3,000 of our customer success unit worldwide. And the 70 people take best practices and share them across areas, across regions, across customers. They are deep technical and they're, you know, relatively high level with a lot of experience. So they can do some upskilling and mentoring. But they're just turning around and helping extend the existing customer success unit. They're not a separate team that shows up in a list of, where do I go for help? They're just part of the customer success unit. So the customer success lead, in this case in New York, maybe it's Michael DeSilva. Michael has his local resources and Michael has his global resources. And he can reach in and just grab it. And the answer is yes. So, we look at a couple customers, a couple of customers in New York, and we realize, wow, you know what you really need? You need a resiliency review. And after three or four times, we create the best practice, we create the program, we create the IP, and then we roll it out across the rest of the world so we can share that best practice. So that small team is basically a global team to do exactly that, just basically share best practices and be extension. It should be considered, one team.
Awesome. And Mark, as someone who's seen different faces of how the tech industry has evolved, what's one piece of advice you would give your younger self as you're about to start your first job? Would you have done anything differently?
I have some basics for anybody when starting a job or changing a job. The first and most important is to learn every day. All right. If you're in your current job, if you're wondering if I should do something different, you should start using that as the basis for your decision. Am I learning something new? If the day I start not learning something new is the day that I should look to get another job, especially coming out of college or switching companies or anything like that, I tell people when joining the Microsoft or joining the customer success unit, think of this as like a college. I promise you this, 1 year from now, you'll be smarter than you are now. So what do you have to lose? You're more valuable a year spending with me than you're not than not spending it. So that's the most important thing. As long as you're learning, you're improving yourself. You're probably helping others, and you're more valuable. So that's the single most important thing for somebody starting new.
Absolutely, and I have to agree, because being on the Azure side and the pace at which technology also changes, we're constantly learning on the field, be it technology or be it business skills. It's a constant learning every day. And to your point, being on this team has a year before to now has been a significant increase in the learning side. So I love it.
Great.
So when I informed people I'm going to be interviewing you, Mark, and these are the qualities that almost everyone unanimously associated you with, down to earth, approachable, easygoing. And having interacted with you in the past, I can completely attest to that quality. Is there a secret sauce, Mark? How do you not let success get to your head? And how do you stay grounded?
Thank you, Anand. It's a very much compliment. I love people. There's a insights profile culture test that many people have taken. It's basically based off colors. And the colors define your personality, your work personality, and your non-work personality. And the two colors that represent me most is one, the red color, which is basically execute, get things done, be successful, go full steam ahead. And the second one is yellow, which is team. I just love team. I love a happy team. I love a healthy team. I like a winning team. And I love people. So I get energized by that. So customer success unit is 3,000 worldwide. And I tell you, I feel like it's the best group of people I've ever worked with. They care for customers. They care for each other. They value this job. They think it, many of them think it's the best job in the company, which is exactly the culture I want to build. So team is really, really important to me. And so that's probably why it comes across, because it is genuine. I just love going out and see people. So once a month, I leave the office in Redmond, even though I'm crazy busy and there's a lot of things I got to do and there's a lot of meetings I got to be, and I'm going to go visit my team, whether it's in New York or DC or Italy, which is where I was this week, or somewhere across Asia, because it's important. It's important to you. It's important for me to listen, learn, and let you know that, hey, I'm there for you. And don't forget, this is the best place to work in the company.
Absolutely. Yep. I've been in Microsoft for over 11 years now. I've been in different orgs from services and now the CSU. But I think, yeah, absolutely. To your point, from the environment, the community, and the learning, this is by far the best place I've been in. It's awesome.
Awesome. That's great.
Absolutely. And Mark, I know a lot of millennials are listening to the show. And one of the challenges that we face as millennials is the abundance of information and sort of keeping up with the different streams of information from different media. Do you have any advice for millennials to stay more engaged and present?
That's a great question. I think, millennials should be answering that. Gen X and baby boomers should be asking millennials that question versus vice versa. And you think about it, Anand, when I grew up, just say you and I were going to school together, and then, of course, that would make you a lot older than you are now, and we'd have a conversation, and, maybe we couldn't think of an actor's name in a movie or some statistic about the stock market or some basketball score or something. If we didn't know the answer, we would just leave it alone. Because there's no way to get the answer. Millennials grew up where there's no answer you don't have. You have that thing stuck to your hip called the phone, and there's a browser, and all the information ever since you've been born has been available for you. So you just immediately have in your mind that, hey, if there's a question I don't know the answer, I'll find it. Whereas my generation, a couple generations before you, we lived with it's okay. I don't know the answer. There's no way to find it. And we would just settle on that. So interesting enough is, you know, that's a totally different way of approaching life. And it's hard to understand when that's all you've had your whole life versus somebody like me who actually had to live with not having the answer to things. So I don't know. I think I reverse the question and say, I'm learning from you. I'm learning from you that I'm not going to accept that I don't have the answer. Because the answer is available. All I have to do is take a little bit of effort. It's out there. So to my millennial friends, stay the course. Stay the course. Keep that attitude. Always be, interested in everything and find the answer. Bring closure because I'm learning from you.
Yeah, I agree to that. I think the fact that we've grown up with knowing answers to every single thing, it's sort of, I think the hardest challenge right now is for us to eliminate the noise and just focus on what's really necessary. I think that is the challenge, because any answers and information, we already have that available. It's up to us to choose which is the right one. So thank you for that.
Yeah, great point. There is an abundance of information. I mean, there's all kinds of statistics. There's more data now generated in the last 2 years and the 30 years before that and things like that. So I tell you, it's impressive. It's hard. You can be overwhelmed quickly. So I do have a philosophy, and that is, it used to be, some things were important, some things were not important. Well, today, it's like everything's important.
Exactly.
So, the new choice is this. It's either important or more important.
Yep.
So you've got to ask yourself, is it the most important thing? Because especially when it comes to our jobs and customer success, everything's important. It's a customer. Of course, it's not important. Everything's important. What's the most important thing?
Awesome.
All right. And so I tell people, don't come to me and tell me it's important. Tell me, is it the most important thing that you need? And then we'll address it.
Yeah. The prioritization is absolutely one of the key skills that you need to have on the skill. That's amazing. Thank you for that, Mark. Mark, hypothetically, if you could have everyone in the CSU master just one skill overnight, sort of a matrix type plugin, what skill would that be, Mark?
Well, this is an easy one. It's a little bit of a cop out, but because I kind of hope it's the DNA of every CSU person, but it's customer empathy. And it has to be core DNA. It's not a skill. It's just you're almost born with it. You take this job because customer empathy is the most important thing. All right. We love our customers. All right. Basically, we're here. We're successful. We're working for the greatest company in the world. And the reason we're the greatest company in the world is because our customers. If something goes wrong, if they're having a bad day, we should have a bad day. If something goes wrong and there's an outage and it's painful, we should feel the pain. On the other hand, when something goes right and they roll out a service and they save 10x in development costs and they're excited, we should be excited. When they go into a new market because our AI technology generated digital transformation opportunities, we should be excited. So I get all that going for me. I can get excited every day. The customers are doing amazing things on the platform, helping them transform their business. And the same thing, there's some customers that are challenged, and I feel the same pain. So, customer empathy is, again, it wouldn't be quite what you learn, but I sure hope it's core DNA of every customer success unit person. Mm.
Awesome. Yeah, and I think I speak for my team, at least when I talk about this. So, especially in the field, we see that when the customer has a scenario, like you said, if something goes wrong, they think of us as an extended team. That's the amount of trust that they have on us. And even when, to your point, when something goes really well, they celebrate it along with everyone. So yeah, empathy is a very big component.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, I know you're a really busy, senior leadership team executive, but have you had any time to read any book in 2019? And if yes, what's the best book you've read in 2019?
Oh, you're going to catch me. So I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go back a couple books. Lately, I've been so busy. I've been in this job for over a year now, and I have to tell you, I have not read an external book in the whole time. Now, I've read a ton of papers. I read papers every single day. I keep up with the news. The only thing I watch on TV is the news. Obviously, the internet gives us, articles to read. I do a lot of keeping up on the competition and the market opportunities. So I do a lot of reading, but I have to say, embarrassingly enough, that, sitting down and reading a book on a beach someplace sounds awful nice right now. And I haven't done that. So I'll cheat a little bit. I'll go back a couple of years, and I read a book called Watching Powder. Interesting enough, I had to mix, nonfiction with fiction. And it's just to clear your head, put a smile on your face, Not every time, every day, you have to be learning 24/7, that, you can be entertained. Mm-hmm. And so I would read fiction to be entertained. And, I like a lot of books about mystery and, a lawyer solving a case, a police officer solving a murder. But in particular, there is a nonfiction book called Watching Powder. And actually quite famous, the story about a writer who actually went down to Colombia and ended up in prison. And the prison back then, very famous, it was based off a capitalistic society where people had to buy a cell like you buy a house, or you couldn't even get in. And, they actually manufactured the best cocaine in the world. And you could actually pay money, because it's all currency. It was basically a state within the prison, and it was hard to formulate that idea in your head. But I won't give you all the secrets. But if you want to be entertained, it's a fascinating true story. People associate nonfiction with not being entertained. You'll be entertained to this as well. So I won't give you any more. I hope I gave you enough to tease you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you want to stay away from technology, be entertained, and tell a true story, look up Watching Powder.
Awesome. I'm definitely going to add that in my reading list. Outside of work, Mark, what's the one hobby or activity that you're most excited about right now?
another one. Again, I took over this job. It's been, a lot of work. And so I'm gonna give you the obvious one, which is my family. If I can have my family and work, I have 99% of what I need in the world. I do think you do need other things in your life too, to triangle it, whether it's religion or a hobby, something like that. But the family is important, and I have three children, a boy who's 26, who, by the way, is super smart, went to school for engineering, computer science, and knows a lot about AWS, and knows a lot about Google, and knows a lot about Microsoft Azure. He's been doing cloud for 5 years. So,
wow, awesome.
So he's a pretty smart, very smart young man. And I have two amazing young girls who one is running a nonprofit in DC area around health, wellness, something that's very passionate about, especially for children. And the other one is out in Idaho State in graduate school, studying hydrology and geology as it relates to the economy and sustainability. And she just wants a cleaner place for people to live. And so it's hard to argue they're all doing great. And of course, my wife, on top of all that, she's probably my biggest hero. She actually runs a food pantry that feeds 500 families a week. I think I'm pretty proud of them. They're all... I look at them and find them much more amazing than me.
Appreciate you sharing this, Mark. It's amazing the things that your family is doing, and you have all the reasons to be super proud of them, and it's great. In closing, is there anything that you would like to share with the listeners of this podcast, Mark?
I want to say hello. First of all, I want to say that thank you for listening. I actually think that doing these podcasts is fun. You get to meet new people. But I'm glad you're listening in. I want you to think about not even just Microsoft, but in general, whether we're a vendor or yours or a friend of yours, we're here to help. And your success is how we're measured. And so think about that. Think about giving us feedback, because feedback's going to make us better. Whether it's good or bad feedback, we'll take them both. If it's good feedback, we'll just keep doing it and share that. And when it's feedback that we can get better, we'll take that. We'll get better. So just a big thank you to all you, and I hope I get to be part of your lives one way or another.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark, for taking out the time. It was a pleasure and honor as always. I'm sure the listeners of this podcast found this useful and enjoyed this as much as I did. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anand. And thank you for taking the time to do these things. It's really important to share with everybody.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.